Hey there, and welcome to the Profitable Content Podcast. Every single week, we're going to sit down and share actionable tips, advice, and even some of our struggles with you all. We know you all can relate as content creators, business owners, or just leaders in the space. We understand that you want to create content that makes an impact in the world and brings more positivity to the digital space. And that is why we're all here. We're here to share. We're here to collaborate. We're here to connect. And we're also here to make sure that you are generating revenue on autopilot. So without further ado, welcome to the Profitable Content Podcast with your host, me, Joss Speaks Digital. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Profitable Content Podcast. I am super excited because I have an amazing guest for you all. We've talked a lot on this podcast about profitability, about monetization. Well, today we're going to talk about lead generation, which is a major piece of monetization and just overall monetizing your content. So Ty Goodwin is here. Thank you so much for coming on, Ty. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself and tell us what we should be looking at as far as monetization right now and profitability.
Well, hey, I am so excited for this conversation. You know, I love when I get to talk to other folks who are just as passionate about helping people as I am. So I'm looking forward to this. You know, the biggest thing about profitability, especially when it comes to lead generation, is I think people misunderstand or they underestimate the numbers that they really need for their business. And I know I was there when I started. I was so happy to get my very first client. I was like, yes. I didn't realize that after I was done working with that client, I was going to need more people. Right? So I was like, oh, hey, wait a minute. We got to start this process all over again. But I see so many people come into this space not realizing the numbers that they need if they're going to have a sustainable business and if they're going to actually have a profit.
That's a huge, huge one. So what are some of the things we should be looking for? What are some of the indicators?
Some of the indicators are, number one, like, do you actually have a bench or a pipeline of people that you can talk to? You know, folks will say all the time, oh, yeah, I've got a Facebook group. I'm like, that's great. Have you connected with those people in your Facebook group? Well, no, but I got a Facebook group. Well, Facebook isn't showing your content to all of those people. In fact, it's probably showing it to maybe about 3% of your actual reach. So do you really have an audience of people to sell to? And folks don't realize that just because you're posting things on social media, that doesn't mean those are buyers. It doesn't mean they're your ideal audience. And so one of the indicators that I ask people is, like, if I ask you right now to go to your phone and call 10 people and offer your services, could you do it? And I get crickets. So you don't have an audience to sell to. So that means you don't have a business. Because a business implies that you actually have people that are willing and able to pay for your services. So that's one of the main things. Do you have people that you can pick up the phone right now and sell to?
Like, I love that conversation. So are you saying I should have their personal phone number and be able to call them?
Yes.
So that means I probably should have like a text messaging or some type of... Okay, so tell us a little bit more about that. And then I want to dive in a little bit of your origin story and how you got to this place to where you were. But tell us a little bit about some of the things we should have into place in order to have these people. Where am I getting these people from?
Well, that's a whole, oh my gosh, it's a great conversation. You've got to have a way to get in front of new people that don't know you. One of the mistakes you make, especially with social media and people that say, I don't ever want to do paid traffic. Well, that means you're stuck having to do a whole lot of networking or cold calling. Yes, I did say cold calling because you've got to get in front of people that don't know you. If you are spending your time trying to cultivate people who like your stuff on Facebook and they're not your audience, it's a lost cause. And I know, I will tell myself, I was Facebook rich and profit poor for 5 years. They love my stuff. Oh my gosh, your words are so inspirational. They were sharing my posts. I had no clients and ended up going back to a day job. So you have to make sure you can reach new people. And so that's where, you know, organic outreach comes in, paid traffic comes in, leverage traffic. And those are all the things that we teach. I have a course called Prospecting Powerhouse. And we teach people how to prospect, just like you're mining for gold. How do you actually find and attract your folks? But if you're not doing that, it's tough. Now, I'll give you a real great example. I came into a week last week, as a matter of fact, where I didn't have any sales calls on my calendar for the next 4 days. I said, oh, no, something's wrong. And I sent out a text message to about 250 people because I get their phone numbers. And within 3 days, I had 14 sales calls booked on my calendar. This week, I closed 2 new clients, right? So all because I had a text message and I was willing to text them and I didn't say, oh my gosh, I don't want to bother people. Listen, if I've got a solution, I'm their hero. I mean, I'm working with people who they're looking, they don't know how to get leads. They don't know how to get, you know, I've got 3,700 phone numbers in my database right now. They don't know how to get that. I've got 10,000 email addresses in my database right now. People don't know how to get that. So I've got this skill set and I've got an entire system where I can get in front of new people that I can talk to about the problem that I can solve. And if you don't know how to do that, how are you going to have business? How are you going to get clients? How are you going to make money?
I love this conversation. You had said something that I wanted to go back to, which was having the folks in your phone to contact when you didn't have any sales calls, right? Now, what was the thing that you did leading up to that to make sure that you had those people in your text messages?
Well, we have a lead magnet that we give people. Some people might have known me. I'm the quiz queen. And so we've had quizzes. We had a really popular lead magnet called 151 Quiz Ideas that we gave to people. And they were downloading that from our Facebook ads. And our cost per lead in our Facebook ads, we're getting leads for like $3 or $4 per lead. Right. Which is really good because those leads can cost you anywhere, depending on your industry, can cost you anywhere from $2 or below all the way up to $50 if you're in real estate. Now, some people are like, I would never pay $50 for an ad. And when I hear people say, like, I would never pay $50 for a lead or something like that, it lets me know that they don't understand how marketing works. Because here's what I do know. If you're a real estate person and let's say you paid $50 per lead and maybe you got 10 leads, that's $500. Like, oh, my gosh, that's been $500. You convert one of them and you help them close a $4 million deal, that person's going to be your client for life, right? So you have to understand your numbers. And that's a big thing that people don't do. They don't like to look at the numbers. They like to go by, oh, I feel like this is working. And I've had people do that with me. They say, oh, yeah, I got some traction on Instagram this week. Oh, people are liking my comments and people are liking my posts. And I say, well, how many is a lot? Oh, it was a good amount of people. No, no, no. What is a good amount of people? Oh, I had 5 people that commented. Like, that is not a good amount of people. But it feels like a lot, right? Because last week you didn't have any. And this week you got 5 or maybe you get 10. But it's not a lot. And so it goes back to what I said in the beginning. You have to really understand your numbers. One of our promises is that we say we help our clients get 300 leads in 30 days. And I've heard people say, I don't need 300 leads. I'm like, well, do you know what your close rate is? And I'm going to get a little technical here with the numbers, right? But, you know, let's say you had 300 leads and your close rate is, let's say, 30%. So here's what that can look like. Out of those 300 people that get on your email list or you get their phone number, let's say 30 of them actually book a call with you. And then another 30% of them, so let's say another 10 actually, you know, show up for the call. And then out of that 10, let's say you have a 30% close rate. So now you've booked 3 clients for the month. And if you think I'm making up those numbers, go check the industry stats. The average close rate is about 3%. And that's for webinars, for sales, for all of that stuff. And so, you know, if people say, well, I'm getting a higher close rate than that. And for people that do that, a lot of times they're expert salespeople. If you're an expert salesperson, like you really know how to like lay it on, you know how to get into those great conversations, like remove all the objections, you've got your game plan together. Good salespeople can close at like 40 or 50%. But if you're closing at that and you're not really good at sales, you probably need to raise your rates. I had somebody who was like, I'm going to close all my sales calls. So what are you selling? I'm selling an 8-week program and I'm selling it for $500. Of course, you're getting a high close rate. But I guarantee you those people aren't showing up for your program, are they? She was like, no, they're not. I said, yeah, because it's only $500. They don't care. Right? You know, so, you know, average close rates that you're going to see is around 20 to 30%, which is why you want 300 leads coming in, because people really think that if somebody sees my Facebook ad, they're going to buy from me like tomorrow. They don't know you. And we always talk about how like in marriage is like marketing or dating is like marketing. Like most people don't get married on the first date. Right now, I always got to say this. I got to throw this out there. So if you are listening and you are Jason Momoa, Idris Elba, or Morris Chestnut, and you come to a first date with me, I'm coming with a ring and a dress. I'm just saying. I got to put that out there every time. Universe, hear me. But most of us are not getting married on the first date, right? And so it takes time. You have to court. You have to woo. You're going to send the emails. You're going to send the text messages. You're going to nurture those people. I had one person that was on my list. She called me in December. We finally had a phone call in December. And I looked back in my notes and I said, hey, you've been on my list. This was December of 2022. I said, hey, you've been on my list. You attended my webinar back in August of 2021. She was like, yeah. And I knew I wanted to work with you. We were just trying to find a time for our company and da, 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 da. She'd been on my list for almost a year and a half. And I sent out a lot of emails, y'all. Did not subscribe, but she was paying attention to what I was sending. And after a year and a half, she was like, yeah, let's go. Now, it doesn't take that long for everybody, but I want you to, people to understand like what those numbers really look like. People don't always buy the first time they see you, especially if you're selling high ticket offers. They've got to do their due diligence. They got to, you know, get buy-in from other people. They got to move things around. They got to make sure that it's a good fit and it's a good time for the investment. And so you need to have a way to nurture those people. You need to make sure you're bringing in enough people and nurture them over time so that every single month you're able to close more sales. And what we teach folks in our powerhouse prospecting and all the services that we do is you want to have a repeatable system so that you have predictable income. You don't want to have that fluke, right? And I see it all the time. People who say, oh, I went viral on TikTok. And it was great. And I got all these people. And I'm like, that was fantastic. And then they spend like the next year trying to recreate that viral moment. It's just like getting high. And I've never been high, so I don't know, right? But it's like, you're like what I see on Snowfall, like what I see on TV, right? You know, they're chasing that high. Oh, I got 100 people that watched my video. I want to try to get that again. But you can't repeat it because it was a fluke. And so because you can't repeat it, now every month is like a roller coaster, right? And the same thing with word of mouth and referrals. I love referrals. Get them all the time. But what happens the month that you don't have a referral? Like I liken it to that Lizzo song, Why Men Great Till They Gotta Be Great. Referrals are great till they gotta be great, right?
That's so true.
You don't get referrals. You don't have any business. And I see a lot of people that go on that. We call it a referral roller coaster because one month you're up, the next month you're down. And that's no way to really have a business that's sustainable.
Yeah. You know, I want to touch on something else that you said about the Facebook thing. And also you kind of tied it into the TikTok video virality as well, right? You getting folks to like your post on Facebook and going, oh yeah, all this engagement. And like you said, in those sales, the TikTok viral video moments, like this video reached how many people? Like I have a video right now that reached, I think now it's at 600,000 or something like
nice.
That. It's something crazy.
Uh-huh.
That did not change my overall, like, no, we are still every day, go, 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 right? Yeah. It isn't, you know, yes, in that moment, it was like, oh, cool, it's happening. But then it's like, now what is happening? My bottom line has always been, how many of them are going to hit my my DMs to get all this work, right? Like those numbers are great, cool beans, yay. How many of y'all want to get some get some work done, right?
Exactly.
So I think that conversation is one that needs to be had again and again and again because so many people focus on only the virality or like you said, getting five comments on an Instagram post, but you got 5,000, 10,000, 30,000 followers and only five comments.
Mm-hmm.
The math doesn't math. So let's go a little bit into your story and your origin story.
Yeah.
How did you get into this? How did you get started in the marketing department?
You know what? I was really good at doing it for myself. You know, I was launching my business while I was working. I was a single mom. And I was actually started off as a career coach, right? I had success with the career coach. I'm like, career coaching is amazing. But this was about 20 years ago, honestly. And back at that time, women and women that look like us, they weren't really investing in career coaching. So it was really hard trying to build that business. But I got so good at doing social media. I had, back then, this was a big deal, but I had about 14,000 Twitter followers way back in the day. I had a podcast back in 2007, 2008. You know, and my podcast was getting 10,000 downloads a month. So I was doing all those things. And people were like, oh my gosh, you're really great at this. Can you show me how to do it? And so I'm a teacher. That's what my background is, in instructional design and teaching. And so I started teaching people how to use social media. And then some people said, well, can you just do it for me? And I said, well, hey, and I did it. And actually, it was one of my first successful businesses. I had a full-time job and I was a part-time social media manager. And I remember hitting $5,000 a month in my business. And this was about 15 years ago now, right? And you would think, oh my gosh, that's amazing. It was horrible. Am I allowed to say curse words on here?
Hey, you do whatever you feel.
I was scared shitless. And here's why. I didn't like what I was doing. Now, let me rephrase that. I love what I was doing, but I was undercharging. So I was burnt out.
How many clients did you have at $5,000 a month for social media?
I had about 4 clients, but it was a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wasn't charging for what I was doing. I was writing their blog posts. I was doing their social media content. I was updating their website. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like,
okay, let me stop you right here and ask you this question, because I've done the same thing. Same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, can you just do this for me? Sure. Are you going to pay me how much? Yeah, I can do it all. Bring it here. Was your mindset at that time around your, you know, just value worth, all the good things? Was it, if I do more, I'll get paid more, or I'll feel like I give them more value? What was your mindset at that time?
If you can remember. You know what? My mindset was, I don't know how to run a business, quite honestly. You know, I'm going to, you know, I can do it for this cheap price, right? Which makes me quote unquote competitive, which really didn't make me competitive at all. And I really didn't understand the value of what I was delivering.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I underestimated the time that it was going to take. And I see people do that now. Like, I had a client tell me, this is about maybe 2 years ago. I don't work with them anymore at all. But, you know, we were writing emails for our clients, because my clients are brilliant at what they do. They just don't want to do all the marketing stuff. It's not their first language. Marketing is our first, second, and third language, right? And she was like, well, you're just writing my emails. I said, what do you mean? I said, no, we're researching keywords. We're looking at what your competitors are doing. We're looking at the trends in your niche and in your industry. We're writing the emails. We're editing the emails. We're posting them with graphics and with the SEO content. And we're giving you social media posts based on those email messages as well. So what do you mean we're just writing your emails? Like, they had no idea. And I think a lot of people think this way. They really don't have any idea how marketing works. And so they're always looking for the cheapest solution, right? Oh, I don't want to pay this for getting my social media done. This person can do it for $300 a month. And I'm like, yeah, and your results look like crap, right? And but what was happening at that point in my business is I was doing it and I was getting burnt out, and I started resenting my clients. Like, I don't want to do this. It's taking so long. And what I realized, you know, by the time you factor in taxes, by the time you factor in overhead, and people say, well, I'm working online, I don't have overhead. You've got, you know, your website, you've got memberships, you've got all those things that you pay for every single month to use in your business. You've got to pay yourself a salary, bank fees, right? Taxes. By the time you take all that stuff out, $5,000 was not a lot. But it's because I wasn't thinking like an entrepreneur. I was just thinking like, I'm going to make this little money on the side. And listen, that's a great place to start if you want to be a freelancer. But what I see a lot of people do, I think they conflate being an entrepreneur with being a freelancer. And so they set up these dead end freelance jobs where you are an order taker. Okay, somebody needs this, I'm going to do it. Somebody needs this, I'm going to do it. And they never get to build a business with a team or build a business where, you know, you're actually making a profit every single month and you're actually paying yourself and you're actually managing expenses and all those things. And that's exciting. It's a lot of work, but it's also exciting when you get to that stage, because then you're actually able to have a bigger impact.
Yeah, All of it, which is why I do not do social media management now. I totally 110% get it. So after you moved from the social media management, where was your next step? Like, how did you get into this whole world of creating quizzes? And what was the first quiz that you created?
Well, yeah, well, I started actually doing courses, because that's what my background is. I have a master's degree in instructional design, and I was helping people build online courses. And again, I was ahead of the time. It was 2007. Wasn't nobody out there talking about online courses. And I'm like, oh, let's build courses. Let's do this. Let's do this. People weren't trying to hear it. But what would happen is for a few people that I did build courses for, I would say, okay, so do you have an email list? You're like, I need what? A who nanny? Like people to sell your course to? Oh, no, I don't have one of those. And so that's how I started saying, okay, let me build your email list, right? Let's focus on building an audience, because there were all these people out there talking about, oh, you can sell your course with a small list. You have 100 people on your list and you can sell your course and have a six-figure launch. I'm like, well, that's great. But what happens when you sell to those 100 people and it's over? The next month, you are back at zero because you still don't have a list of people to sell to. Again, people not understanding how that business model works and buying into this hype of, oh, all you need is 100 people and you can sell to. That's great. But after 3 months, what are you going to do for income? Because they already bought your course. So either you're going to create another course and try to convince them to buy your next course, or you're going to have to get more people. And so I started helping my clients generate leads for their products and for their services. And that's how we got into that marketing team and becoming Lead Momentum. And I actually created my first quiz. Like I said, I was Facebook rich and profit poor for 5 years and ended up going into a job, back to a day job. And when I left that last job, I told my then husband, we're no longer married. So you hear that, Jason, Idris, and Morris, right? But I told my ex-husband, I said, listen, I will eat ramen noodles every day for a year before I go back to a day job. And I was so committed. And I used a quiz. I had built a paper-based quiz, you know, back in 2013. And this was now 2017. And I found a way to automate this quiz online. And I had a list of people of about 2,500 people that I hadn't talked to in 2.5 years because I couldn't have a part-time job while I worked, a part-time business while I worked this job. But I sent this list of 2,500 people. I sent them a quiz, say, hey, I'm opening up shop. Take this quiz. The quiz was, what type of entrepreneur are you? And within 2 weeks, I had 500 people back on my email list. Now, I know people who have been in this game for 2 or 3 years and they still trying to get to 100 people on their email list, right? So I'm like, this is pretty good. And I used that to start my business. I got coaching clients. Fast forward about 4 or 5 months later, I said, hey, I heard about this Facebook ad stuff. Let me see if I can get more eyeballs on it, because that's what I had, which a lot of my clients have. They have a visibility and volume issue, right? We call it a trifecta: visibility, volume, and velocity. Right? They have a visibility because they're not being seen by the right people. They have a volume issue because even when they find the right people, they're not being seen by enough of them. And then velocity is, it takes them so long because they're only using organic traffic and they're not investing in paid traffic, which means they can move a lot faster. And so I started using Facebook ads. Now, I will be very honest and say the first time I really paid for Facebook ads, I was mad. Because Facebook took $500 out of my account. And that's what it felt like. I had to add it to, I didn't take money. Like that little message, we took money out of your account. Now it didn't say that, right? But that's what it felt like. And I remember shutting my ads off. And my coach was like, why did you do that? I said, they took $500 out of my account. And I had the neck roll and, you know, tough, I don't know. He said, but how much money did you make? So spent $500 on ads. It's all for a 2 week period of time because I was learning how to do stuff. And actually, that's actually what we do now, you know, about $500 in those 2 weeks. I had booked 30 sales calls, right? And I closed 2 of them into my high ticket offer at that time. Now, some of them bought some other stuff and they stayed on my list, but I made $8,500 booked business. So now I had to do the math. My brain is going, right? The beeps are going off, right? So you spent $500 and you made $8,500. Oh, hell yeah. And I really started to understand, now I get why people invest in Facebook ads. And then we just turned it on. And so over the next 6 months, actually, I'll start with the next 4 months first. We spent about $600 a month in ads. We added 9,000 people to our email list in 4 months. My email list went from 1,700 people to over 12,000 people. We hit our first $10,000 month, never had to wonder where our next clients were coming from. And to this day, we still use that same strategy of using quizzes to grow our email list. using quizzes to segment our audience, using quizzes to attract and qualify leads so that we've got more data than just some email address. And see, I love all lead magnets, right? Love them all. But the cool thing about a quiz is that if you take my quiz, I'm going to get more than just your email address and your name.
That is so right.
Yeah. So now I've got better data. So now I can actually talk about the thing that's really bothering you. I can speak to your specific pain point. We did this with one of our clients. She's a health and wellness coach, and she wanted to focus on weight loss. And she was just like a whole bunch of other weight loss coaches out there. I want to help people lose weight. And so we helped her, first of all, when we work with clients, we help them with their offer, their audience and messaging. And so we helped her narrow her focus down to people who want to lose that last 15 pounds. So her quiz is, what's really keeping you from losing those last 15 pounds, right? And when she did the quiz, she was all set to say that people weren't losing the last 15 pounds because they were tied to their desk. They worked a lot and they couldn't get up and exercise. When she did the quiz, she found out that wasn't the issue. The people that she wanted to target, these high achieving women, these executive women, they weren't able to do more exercise and lose the weight because they just didn't have the time. Didn't have time to eat properly, didn't have time to make healthy food choices and pack healthy food, and they didn't have time to exercise. So now her whole program is not about, let me show you how to exercise at your desk. Her whole program is, let me show you how to block your time. And she can start doing videos on, let me show you how to do this 15-minute exercise that'll boost your energy and speed up your metabolism. Okay? But now she's got data that she didn't have before. And so that's what I love about quizzes. And so I became the quiz queen, helping people create quizzes and generate 300 leads in 30 days. And we've been able to build our business and help e-commerce clients. We've helped lawyers. We helped doctors. We helped an OBGYN create a quiz called Where Did My O Go? And yes, ladies, you were talking about that O because she was helping women with their libido. Right? You know, is there something going on with your libido because you're on medication? Is it because you're stressed? Is it because you're dehydrated? Right? But she has a quiz that's helping women figure that out. And then she can say, listen, if it's your hydration and if it's your diet, I've got a nutrition plan for you. If it's something because you're taking these medications, come in and for a consult and we'll help you get your medication straight. She wouldn't be able to do that if she was just like, hey, give me your email address. Take my
free worklist. So I love the fact that you are able to create these quizzes, but then also have the quizzes inform the content that they're creating, right? And so you gather all of that data.
Yeah.
As we kind of bring it around to creating profitable content, how we do so, what are some other ways in which the folks that are listening here today can utilize either quizzes or you also talked about some other lead generation things mm-hmm. that you offer as well. To enhance their, you know, content, because we got to create content. It's a must have.
Yeah.
How do we maximize that utilizing quizzes and other?
Yeah. Things? Well, you know, the great thing about quizzes is that they're interactive, and that's one of the things that people want these days. Like everybody has a PDF download, and listen, I love a good Canva checklist. Got some templates that we use for that as well. But people like the engagement and the interaction. And so that's something that catches people's attention. The other way to monetize your quizzes, it doesn't have to be just for your lead magnet. Like we use quizzes inside our coaching program. We've got a quiz called Is Your Marketing Bankable? And that's for people when they come and work with us, we give them that quiz to find out what the gaps are. Right. So now when you come and work with us, we can say, okay, based on your quiz, these are the five things that we need to work on first. Right. And you see, and people have seen this setup with things like Strength Finders. I think her name is Shelly Hogshead. She has a Fascinate quiz, but like you take the quiz and you get a free version of it, and then you can get upsold into a premium version that gives you even more data.
Right? Yeah. I've seen a lot of those.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so those are ways, if you're working with corporate clients, and I say this because we work with a lot of B2B folks, it's not a quiz. It's a scorecard or an assessment or an audit, right?
Got
and
it.
They will pay you huge money for an audit. Like if I could, you know, like we've got something called marketing operations scorecard, right? Because again, we work with the B2B folk on that side. And so they can take this scorecard and they can see based on this, your marketing operations, your automations, your follow-up, your backend systems. Listen, your score is trash. You don't have any follow-up for people. Like I talked to a few people, they had thousands of people in their database. Did follow up, didn't send them emails, just collected them. You got an email list. What are you doing with them? Absolutely nothing, right? And so we can show them how to automate that, but they'll pay gold, they'll pay for that data that says, hey, listen, you took this audit. Let me know, $49.99, $97. We'll give you the audit. We'll hop on a call. We'll tell you where the gaps are. And then if you want, you can hire us to fix it. Or maybe you've got people on your team. You just didn't know where to start. And so those are ways that you're able to monetize that content, right, from a quiz and leverage that into, you know, other ways that you can work with people or even leverage that into other data that you can sell.
Now, I love that idea. I know that the little quizzes that pop up on Facebook all the time where it tells you, you know, who you're going to marry or what you're going to do in 5 years, you know, the little fun ones. But I always look at those quizzes and go, wow, this is collecting a lot of information. Right. This is like scanning my whole profile to get to find out what conclusion I should be. And in some instances, it's not even doing that. It's just giving you a random.
Oh, absolutely. Conclusion. But it's getting your data and I guarantee you're selling it to people.
Yeah. Yeah. So but those also have ads on them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So as we kind of look at profitable content and as you said, utilizing the quiz as a content pillar and monetizing the quiz as well. What are some of the ways in which business owners or content creators can create these type of quizzes that they can then use? And like you said, with your B2B clients, what are some of the ideas that you have for content creators and business owners?
Yeah, well, I mean, the basic idea is, and I want to be really, really clear here with this, because I see a lot of people popping up and saying, oh, I'm going to create a quiz. And what they actually create is a survey. Not the same. And or they'll create something that's super, super fun. Like there was a woman that I that created a quiz and I felt so bad because I kind of crushed her dreams. I have a little bit of a dream crusher sometimes. But listen, people don't pay me to tell them. People don't pay me to make them feel good about shit that's not working. Right. And I go, oh, whoa, 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 your marketing doesn't work, but it's OK. No, I'm going to tell you so you can fix it so you can make some money. And she had this quiz. She sold, I think she sold like healing products or lotions or body lotions and that kind of stuff. And her quiz was around which goddess are you? And then she was wondering why she, yeah, see, exactly. She was wondering why she wasn't getting sales. I'm like, if I'm trying to find out which goddess I am, I don't care about my skin. Like, I'm not taking it because I want to know about your Isis skincare cream. Like,
right.
You know, no, like it might've been cute, but a lot of people have that misnomer because they see, oh, they see the cute quizzes on Facebook. And this is, and listen, they are cute, but this is business. So you really want to take a look at the problem that you solve, you know, for your clients, like the woman that I talked to, the health coach, right? You know, she could have asked, you know, what's the fastest way for you to lose weight? There's a lot of different things like that. But she focuses on people who want to lose that last 15 pounds. So now it's really dialed into that audience. We've got another client that's in the wellness space, and she has a business called the Tea Snob, right? And she focuses on everyday wellness. And so we helped her create an everyday wellness assessment that's not just for her consumers, but for her B2B clients, because more corporations now and more businesses are focused on wellness for their employees, right? So we weren't going to create a quiz, what tea should you drink? Because most people aren't going around looking to say, oh, yeah, darn it, I wonder which tea I should drink, right? Not like they're not going to bed, but hey, let's talk about your self-care and your wellness. What's your everyday wellness look like for you? Are you healthy? Are you well? Let's take this assessment and see, right? And so it really is understanding who your audience is, which is what we start with. Who is your audience and what problem do you solve? And it goes back to your basic fundamentals of having what we call a bankable business model. You have to have an audience that's willing and able to pay you. And then you have to have a problem that you solve for that audience, and your quiz is going to be connected to that. So when you're thinking about what kind of quiz you should create, look at what problems do you solve for your audience and how can you turn it into a question that's going to pique their curiosity.
And so when we first started, before I pressed record, I asked you what is like one of the main things that you would want to talk about during this interview. And you said that folks need to know what they're selling and sell to people what they actually want. So tell us a little bit more about that. Why do you feel like that's such an important topic right now and conversation that needs to be had?
Yeah, you know, the internet has made the barrier of entry into entrepreneurship so low because people are saying, well, I got an Instagram account, I got a camera, and I'm an entrepreneur, right? Or, you know, people always like talking to me about their problems. So now I'm a coach. Really? Like, you know, we're in this mode where people think, well, I want to do this. So somebody should pay me for it. That's not how any of this works. Businesses solve problems. And so you have to talk to people. It amazes me. Like, you know, I've had clients that will come on board and work with us. I've had people that have built out entire courses. Like, they pay somebody else to build a course. They come to me to help them build their list. And I say, okay, so when you talk to the people that you built the course for, what were their biggest pain points? They were like, talk to who? The people you build in the course for. I didn't talk to anybody. So you just decided to build a course. Yeah, because I'm really good at this. Okay.
Or let's add in the piece of, because I've seen, what is her name? Gosh, I just had her name. She has a podcast. It does leave. Anyway, I can't remember. Right. I've seen X, Y, and Z person that had a course and they said they made all this money. So I was thinking, you know, I could just make a course. And and now I made it. Yay, it's here. Aren't you so excited?
That exactly. Yeah. And who's excited for you? Nobody, because you don't have an audience. You know, I used to always say it's like planning your birthday party for like 6 months. And then you invite people the day of.
Yes.
Right. Like, even people that love you, like, they really love you, they can't come. Because they had no notice. And I see people do that with courses. I see people do that with books.
Oh,
you know, like, oh, my book is going to be done next week. I guess I should start marketing. No, you have to build your audience and build your list. But more importantly, even with books, don't write a book and you haven't talked to the audience. Don't write a book and you don't know who you're writing for, because the way you write your book, just like the way you build your courses, the way you build your programs, it's going to be different depending on who you're talking to. I'll give you a perfect example. You know, if you are, I'll use the weight loss industry again, because it's so easy to do, but I've got people that say, oh, I want to be a health coach. I want to help people lose weight. Well, who are you going to help? I want to help women over 40. That's everybody and their mom, right? So that's going to be a little bit hard to pin down. And then I say, and here's another thing to think about. Let's say you said you wanted to work with women who are new moms who wanted to lose their baby weight. They have a different availability and a different income level than a woman who's over 40 with a C-level job who is now, you know, about to be an empty nester and is trying to get back into her prime of life after a divorce. Different money, different time, different body type, different things happening. You can't market and talk to them the same way. You can't talk to women over 50 who are trying to lose weight from menopause about baby fat. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You can't talk to them about, well, why you're lactating. This is what? So you have to be able to understand like who your audience is and really tap into what is it that they need. And even when you're doing this on marketing, so I just wrote some posts for April for social media. And one of the posts I have, it says attention whore. Because I think a lot of people, the internet has turned people into attention whores. We want a lot of attention on us. And what that means is when you're talking about you, 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 and what you like and what you do and what you did and what you won, you're not talking about the pain points of your audience.
You know, and that's an interesting point, because I speak to a lot of folks who have lifestyle brands as well. And I think that there's a certain point where you need to understand what your business model is, but you also need to understand who you're speaking to and what type of content you create. Right.
Absolutely.
Are you doing this or entertainment factor? One of my clients is an entertainer. So, yeah, she can totally have a day of just, I'm this, I'm that, I'm doing this. And this, look at what I'm doing now. Right. Versus a business or, you know, someone who is actually selling a product or a service. Right. They specifically should be speaking to folks that need that product or that service. So finding that differentiation between, especially in today's world where the entertainment and the comedy and the those
TikTok
things
reels
in between TikTok and all of those things start to mix and mingle, and people kind of get confused as to where they should be going. So I would love for you to kind of tap on, as we kind of bring this to a close here.
Yeah.
What are some of the, I'm taking this in a different direction. What are some of those frustrations that you've kind of talked on one of them already, but what are some of the other frustrations that you've been able to had to navigate, I should say, as a business owner? And how have you been able to get on the other side of it?
Wow. Goodness. Some of the frustrations as a business owner. You mean with my clients or just in growing my business?
Either one. What is like the biggest thing that you've, I'm asking this question because I wanted to bring in an element with the rest of the interviews that I do on this podcast, because I've had several conversations after, you know, COVID has happened and all the things. ChatGPT is out. Now everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my business because ChatGPT can spit out some words. The frustration level of entrepreneurship is just super on an all-time high. So I would love to hear how you've been able to navigate it since you've been in this game for such a long time and have been able to sustain. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going into our sixth year of being full-time employed, you know, no W-2, you know, so we reached that five-year barrier because a lot of businesses fold within the first 5 years. And it hasn't always been easy. It hasn't always been $20,000 months or $50,000 months, or we even had $100,000 month, you know, 1 month that we booked in business, but it hasn't always been that way. One of my frustrations right now is that people are so fast to go after the gloss. Right. Oh, this person has these great pictures and these great shots and they're saying all this stuff and they're hyping. One of my pet peeves is, and I will never be this person. I will never, ever. My boyfriend says, don't say never, ever, but I will say never, ever for this one. I will never be the person that the only way I'm making money is because I'm telling you to make money. That drives me up the wall. Like I know a few people who are like this. Like they're calling themselves like six figure queens or six figure this. And when you look at their business model, like they make six figures because now they charge people $10,000 to tell them how I got you in my program. Right?
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah, but you really didn't do anything. And I see this iteration over and over again. And so what happens is it becomes kind of incestuous. Because I'm going to take what I learned here. Now I'm going to tell you how I got you in my program. And now you're going to use this to tell people, other people how you got them in your program. And then you're all selling each other the same shit. And what's happening is, and I'm like, hey, listen, keep doing it. Okay. I want y'all to keep doing it. Honestly, keep doing it. Because brilliant people like you and I, we can go after those companies that the $2.5 million, $5 million, $10 million mark, and they actually have a budget to pay. I hear people all the time complaining about people not paying or having to make payment plans. Well, why do you keep going after people who are only making $100,000 a year in business? Because, you know, small businesses, if you make $5 million, you're still considered a small business. If you make $10 million in this country, you're still considered a small business. But we keep going after these solopreneurs. And like I said, it's incestuous. You keep going after these people and nobody has money to pay the other people. And I hear and see it all the time. Like I see the beautiful people that look so great on Facebook and then when they get on a call with me and our services, you know, our services be like really, really cheap for what we did until I started out. And I'll share this with you because this is eye opening. I started doing quizzes. They were like $3,500 for like a whole quiz funnel. And I'm talking about, we're building your entire quiz, all of your content, writing all your emails, up to 17 emails, setting it up in your email system, creating your landing page, giving you the social media content and the plan to launch your quiz. And I still have people that were like, oh, that's a lot of money. And then I was on a call with these guys that don't look like us. And I hear these guys talking about, oh yeah, we create a funnel for you. You have to give us the content. And we'll create your funnel and it starts at $5,000. I'm like, what the what? What the what? Wait, you're not even writing content and people are paying you $5,000? So what the hell? but being in those circles, right? It totally changed the trajectory of things. And this is how I started knowing. Now, one more conversation on those lines. I was talking to these guys again, well, a different group of guys, but they still didn't look like us. And they were trying to get me into their program. And I did eventually go into their program, which was a great program, by the way, at the time. I don't think they run it anymore. But he was like, so how much do you want to do in your business? I said, well, I did 100,000, you know, I did 100,000. So now I'm going to do $200,000. He's like, okay, you want to do $200,000 a month. It's like, and I mean, this was literally like my face, listen, I have no poker face because I had never heard it said that way. These guys were doing $400,000 a month in their business. So when I said $200,000, it made perfect sense to him that I want to do that in a month. And he said it like it was air, like it was nothing. And I said, you know what? I got to start talking to different people. I got to start looking at different businesses. I got to start looking for different clients, because if I stay, so my frustration with a lot of us is we keep staying in this same circle, being frustrated, never being able to build anything. And there's markets out there. There are people that are paying so much more for the value that we're bringing to the table. And we just got to step our game up and be more visible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's another reason why I restarted the podcast. I podcasted a bit, but that's okay. We came back because I wanted to have these real conversations around frustration, around monetization. And to your point, right, those folks that are out there, they're like, oh yeah, I can show you how to make, you know, whatever per month or per whatever. And, you know, they are doing it off of your back. Mm-hmm. Right. And they ask you nothing about your actual insight, how you actually want to build your business. Like you get none of that. And then you come to me upset and not wanting to invest because you got into that program with X, Y, and Z person that had the prettiest website in the world. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I'm excited and I'm happy that you were able to kind of talk a little bit about that. Right. I remember seeing someone who did not look like us who said they were spending, I think, $7,000 a month on Facebook ads. And I was like, oh, they are crazy. There's no way that I would ever.
Oh, listen, my coach spends about he spends at least $5,000 to $10,000 a day on Facebook ads.
Wow. And that's a day.
And I was in I went to a mastermind event that he did. And okay, of course, it wasn't many people that look like us.
Yeah.
But the guy in the front of the room said, yeah, we only spent $400,000 on Facebook ads this month.
Wow.
We only spent. And yeah, they did $40 million in sales. And they're in the dietary supplement space.
Yeah. And so this is the issue. The issue is the holding of the funds. Mm-hmm. If I hold it, it won't go anywhere. You know, neither will you. You will stay stuck and stagnant if you are not willing. I even get it for folks who come to us for digital services, right? It's like, oh yeah, can you help me with website or build out, you know, pages, whatever. Okay, how much are you? No, I don't want no money. Can you just do it like a little bit here, a little bit there? Or can we just use Google Forms? No. Google Forms is kind of out of this conversation at this point. Yeah. We got to invest in something a little bit more robust. So it really is about, to your point, the folks that you're talking to. I also realized that I was speaking to people. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. I'm asking people that don't have any money for money. Okay, yeah, that's not, that makes no sense whatsoever.
And they get mad.
Like, well, they won't pay me $5,000. They don't have $5,000, Jessica. Oh, yeah, that could be a reason.
Yes. So that's just, and that's smarter. Find the people that do. Learn where they are. And that's why we do less prospecting powerhouses. How do you find those people and how do you attract them? Because it's a skill set. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's a skill set you can learn. You know, but you just gotta have the right teacher and you gotta like show up and be consistent, but you can learn how to do that.
120%. So as we kind of close out, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your insight and also your frustrations. The Profitable Content Podcast conversation is really about content in all its factors, not just the content that we put out here on social media, but to your point, quizzes, things to that effect. Is there any other thing that we didn't talk about that you feel like is a part of this conversation that we're having today before we leave out? Is there anything that I may have left out?
There's still a lot of room to create courses. You know, I come from that background of instructional design. It's going to be and it's projected to be a $3.54 billion industry, right? There's still space for that. So for people who are trying to figure out, like, how can I monetize my content? Yes, build your list, but also think of ways to package your content in a sellable format so that you can generate some additional income. You can generate some passive and recurring income, right? And it's courses, it's apps, right? Apps are becoming super popular and apps are a different way to deliver your content. But those are some things that we don't always think about because we're technophobes a little bit, But here's what I see is that because we're usually last to the party, we're also last to the money. You know, and you'll get this, and so will your listeners. So people, you know, let me ask you this. How many people do you know right now that are just starting to use webinars in their business, Jessica?
Oh, I've had several.
Yeah, lots mm-hmm. of people, right?
I've had several.
I did my first webinar in 1999. And I know you're like, were you 12? And yes, I was 12, but that's a whole other story, right? I did my first webinar in 1999. And I know it was then because we were worried about Y2K. I worked for a national sales company. And we were so worried about Y2K crushing the computers, and it's going to turn to 2000 and all the computers are going to break and we're not going to be able to train anybody.
I was in high school, y'all. So
I was almost in high school now. That was 23 years ago.
That was a long, long time ago.
There are still people trying to figure out how to start webinars.
Yeah. I teach them.
Exactly. So I know. But a lot of us, we're late to the game, which means we're late to the money. So don't be afraid of these trends. Learn how to use them. Learn steady, get these skills, learn how to prospect, learn how to make a profit. You can learn these things, get your skills up, and build a bankable business. And you're definitely going to need some bankable content to make that happen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a wide range of audience members. I have the beginners, and then I also have the folks who have a large audience, hence the virality of TikToks and all the other things, right? Or have legacy brands who have been in the game for a long time, but they're just now starting to get into the social media aspect mm-hmm. of it and monetize because they were scared of it for a very long time.
Yeah.
So having that wide range of audience members and people that kind of listen to me and kind of follow along with my content, I'm so happy that we were able to have this conversation with you, Ty, because this has definitely been something where we've touched on a bit for the folks who may just be getting started and dipping their toe in, you know, releasing the fear and coming out and creating the content, but also for the folks who have legacy brands, how can you utilize a quiz, simple quiz, something that's nice and able to pull people in and get them to your product or your service or your show, whatever it is, your event, the things that you're doing. And it's a really great way for you to gather that data and information. So thank you so much, Ty. Tell everyone where they can find you and how we can contact you.
Well, thank you so much for creating this platform to have this conversation. I love being able to have these like unscripted conversations with folks. Folks can find me online at, if you just do Ty Goodwin, TaiGoodwin, on all the platforms, including TikTok. It's pretty sad on TikTok, but hey, if you follow me, I'll follow you back. But on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, even Twitter, you can find me at Ty Goodwin. Our website is thatmarketingteam.com. And one of the things we do every week is we do something called the Leads Workshop. So if they're looking for some support and they want to understand how lead generation works and how to automate the lead gen process, sign up for the Leads Workshop, theleadsworkshop.com. And that's where you'll be able to learn how to automate your lead generation so you can work less and profit more.
Thank you so much, Ty, for sharing your expertise with us. Thank you all for listening. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you go ahead and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. And make sure that you follow us and leave a review on iTunes. I do want to get those reviews up, you guys. So thanks so much once again for listening to the Profitable Content Podcast. And thank you so much, Ty, for sharing your expertise.